Hey, good morning, everyone. Alan Ellis here. We're talking about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. And, boy, there's a lot going on. Oh, my goodness gracious. In the General Assembly and in the world of the outdoors and the Department of Natural Resources. Public comment period is opened on the hunting regulations. We've got them printed out right here if you'd like to have them. Public meetings are scheduled. So if you'd like to hear about that, we can do that. And I will tell you those public meetings here in just a minute. As soon as, oh, no, let's see. That's not going to work. Okay. Oh, computers, you got to love them. I hate them. But they're a necessary tool, unfortunately. If you didn't see that, the department's website has that. And they are welcoming input on the hunting and trapping proposals for the upcoming season. So we'll get to that in just a second. I don't know if you've gotten your fishing license or not. I got mine the other day, and I thought it was interesting. To read some of the changes in the book from the time they were printed till now, and some of the problems that have occurred with the pages in the book. And that's what I was looking for. We got that list of corrections. If you would like to join with me, class, and take your handbook, your Maryland Fishing Guide 2012, and these have been corrected, by the way, online. So if you are getting your rules and regulations online, they are correct. But let's see. On page 18, under zero creel limit areas for brook trout, item 2 is missing the word excluding. It should read, areas subject to these provisions, Savage River mainstream and tributaries upstream of the Savage River Reservoir Dam, excluding the Savage River Reservoir. See, apparently they missed the word excluding there, and Savage River Reservoir was included as a zero creel limit area, which it is not. Savage River from Savage River Reservoir upstream to Poplar Lick Run and New Germany Lake. On page 24, the put and take stocking closure schedule should read zero closure. Zero is no closure. Closure 1 is March 11th to March 31st. Closure 2 is March 25th to March 31st. Closure 3 is April 25th to April 21st. And closure 4 is April 22nd to April 28th. So I will go to page 24. And notice that the dates are certainly incorrect. They're off by 5 days. On page 39 through 41, and this is a big one, 39 through 41, this is tidal sport fishing, the Chesapeake Bay, its tributaries, coastal bays, and Atlantic Oceans. The heading erroneously indicates that the Chesapeake Bay spring fishing restrictions on striped bass also pertains to the coastal bays and the Atlantic Ocean. They do not. That is pages 39 through 41. Here's what it says, or here's what it... Well, I'm not going to read the whole thing. Page 54, crabbing. Maryland's coastal bays. Let's see, page 54. You might ask, why did all this happen? How did all these things get messed up? Well, here. Page 54, crabbing. For those of you who crab, Maryland's coastal bays should read, it is legal instead of it is illegal. That's a big headline. That's about halfway down the page. It is illegal to crab in the coastal bays of America, and they're using not more than it should read, it's legal. That's a biggie for crabbers. And then page 57, the footnote concerning blue catfish having to be dead in order to qualify for an angler award in the Maryland Fishing Challenge is an error. And there's an error in this sentence, but I won't bring it up. In 2012, blue catfish may qualify for the Angler Award Program and the Fishing Challenge, dead or alive. And along those lines, a new state record blue catfish was caught yesterday at Fort Washington, or 2 days ago, excuse me. We found out about it yesterday, 80.74 pounds. Hopefully we'll hear more about that today. On page 57, the blue line tilefish angler award minimum size is 25 inches. What do we have here? The blue line tilefish. Oh, there's no inches. It's supposed to be 25 inches. Also on page 57, the largemouth bass angler award size for both freshwater and tidal waters is 21 inches. And let's see. Excuse me. Yeah, it says 22 inches in the Chesapeake Bay Division. It's 21 inches. And the DNR Fisheries website has been updated to. So there are some errors. There are some errors. And some of them, I believe, were purposeful. There are people who are no longer with the department who were working on the rule book. Not happy at the time. And less happy now because they are no longer employed. Next hour, we hopefully will have Robert Gaudette, who is the chief guy in charge of boating here in Maryland, on our air about 6:30. If you have any questions about the State Boat Act raising fees to register your boat, and Mr. Gaudette will be here. And the Baltimore Sun published an article this past week on its opinion and editorial page explaining the reasons for the increase in boat registrations. Some of them are pretty extensive. I've had some pretty in-depth discussions this week with some people who are looking at all these things. And they're not happy with, nor am I, with a number of these initiatives. And it's unfortunate that the timing is what it is. Got gas prices going through the roof. I mean, in your car. You've got an increase in the General Assembly asked for by the department to increase boating fees. You've got an increase soon to be asked for by the department for an increase in the hunting licenses, which has gotten much play on these online sites. And then, on top of that, administration has asked for increases on state taxes or state fees on gasoline. It's too much. It's too much. Somebody has to scale something back somewhere. Generally, I'm in support of the increased fees on hunting licenses, generally. I understand where the department's coming from. The goal, the main goal, was to incrementally increase the hunting licenses for residents and substantially increase the prices for non-resident hunters to become pretty equal with our surrounding states. And we're right in the ballpark. We're right in the middle. And I have those numbers if you'd like to hear them. But if you know, and many of you hunt in, let's say, West Virginia, you know what a non-resident hunting license costs you. It's not nearly as much here in Maryland for a West Virginian to come to Maryland to hunt our abundant white-tailed deer with our generous bag limits. The boating fees, I understand the need. I see the documents. I see the handout sheets. I understand that the federal dollars have dried up, and the dredging programs in our abundant boating channels, 265 boating channels, by the way, is accomplished by the state and part of that by the federal government, the Army Corps of Engineers. The Army Corps of Engineers funding has been cut. There will be no more dredging by the federal government. That's going to have to be taken over by the state. The annual dredging costs are $17 million. The boating contributes up to $2 billion to the state's economy. Boating supports 35,000 full-time jobs. Boating supports commercial watermen, marine contractors, marinas, boat yards, and waterfront businesses. Not a word about recreational fishing. Not a word about charter boats. You see, there's a disconnect here that shouldn't be. The need is 191,362 boats registered in Maryland. The need is for 41 million in ongoing dredging, boating facilities, and safety-related activities. And that is to maintain over 400 boating facilities and 265 public boating channels. There are 3,600 buoys, markers, and signs in our waterways that need maintained, nearly 30,000 hours of natural resources, police boating-related safety patrols. That was in 2010. And then there are other services, including ice breaking, marine sewage pump outs, local fire and rescue boats and equipment, and abandoned boat and debris removal. The available funds went from about $60 million in 96, slowly declined till about 2010, and it dropped off the table, down to about $25 million, and now it's projected to flatline there at about $20 million. And the shortfall is about that same amount per year. But we'll have Mr. Gaudette on here earlier, or later in the show. The Sun explains it. And I'll read a little bit about that to you from the Sun article if you didn't see it. And we'll do that here shortly. We're going to take a little break, though. I have to tell you some stuff about some of our sponsors. So I'm just kind of talking a little bit low to you today, a little bit slow, so that you get it. I'm not all excited. Are you? 410-922-6680. You want to call and yell about the governor? You want to call? You want to email? You can email Ellis at ellisoutdoors.com. Governor's pretty much taken a hands-off approach to fishing and hunting, I can tell you that. It's time to gear up for fishing season. A Clyde Sports Shop 10-day sale, which is 9 days this year, March 3rd through the 11th. You can own, that's next, what day is that? Is that Friday? Come on, Brian. I think that's Friday. You can own new Shakespeare rods and reels or a fine Fluger fishing reel at the best prices of the year. I'll never forget, my dad had a Fluger President bait caster. It was his pride and joy. He had it on a Fluger rod, and it went overboard in Lake Somerset whenever he did get it. And I was manning the rod at the time. I don't know what happened. Something got snagged or fish grabbed it or was trolling with it. Bloop, overboard it went. That is next Saturday. Yeah, okay. Yes. March 3rd through March 11th. But Clyde's Sports Shop on Hammonds Ferry Road is your hometown fishing headquarters since 1957. Invite you to check out these specials. They've got the Shakespeare Tidewater trolling rods with a roller tip and gimbal. And those rods are only $39.95. You match one of those with a level wind Shakespeare Arsenal Big Water Reel, starting at just $32.95. And all the famous Shakespeare Ugly Stick rods, from the ultralight to the surf rods, are all on sale. Now, the Fluger Try-On Spinning Reel is very specially priced, including the little tiny one just in time for perch or trout. It's the Try-On GX Micro Reel, $39.95, and the LP Baitcast Reel is just $99.95. Now, Clyde's invites you to bring your reels down and fill them up with fresh line, fresh premium monofilament with a name brand. Just bring them on in, bring the empty spools in, and they'll fill them for it. I mean, I'd take your reel so they know which direction to wind your line. But, you know, you can do that for half price, starting at just 1 cent per yard. Spectra Power Pro line, that's from 15 to 100-pound test, on sale for just 10 cents a yard. During the sale, you can save big on pen reels from the GTI series to the new 220 GTOs and the new 330 LDs. So gear up for fishing season at Clyde Sports Shop. 10-day sale, 9 days, March 3rd through March 11th. If you fish, stop by Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Give them a call, 410-242-6108. That's 242-6108 for Clyde Sports Shop. Over 50 years of serving Maryland sportsmen.
Alan Ellis here for Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln. You know, my friend John Berkridge, the sales manager, he wants outdoorsmen to know that the F-150 and Super Duty pickups are ready for action. Remember, Ford trucks are dependable wherever you spend your time outdoors, at work, and at play. Stop by and see the lineup of Explorers, Escapes, Rangers, Super Duty, and F-150 pickups, America's best-selling trucks for 34 years. Ask how to take advantage of the special offers and incentives on Ford trucks at Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln. See Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln at 1845 East Joppa Road in Parkville for all the details, or call 410-661-6400. Visit them online at bobdavidsonauto.com. For outdoorsmen, Bob Davidson is your outfitter for quality Ford trucks.
Bob Davidson, the ultimate Ford Lincoln store.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
News, sports, traffic and weather, and the hot issues of the day. Don't miss Maryland's wake-up call. Sean and Frank, weekday mornings from 6 to 9 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Your heart gets to pumping, your knees get to knocking, and your mind starts racing. It's a feeling like you never felt before. Have you coming back for more? Buck fever, gonna get you, boy. Buck fever, have you praying to the Lord. That rat, that grunt, that stare, that stomp will make you a believer.
Yeah, we're back. All right. Wow. Buck fever. Last management hunt of the year on Monday coming up. Howard County. End of February. Object is to take mature does off of County Park. Help cut down on the damage to the environment. Help cut down on the vehicle strikes. Sustain and reduce the deer herd on some of the county public land in Howard County. I'll be there. All right. Here's the Baltimore Sun. This was on the editorial page on the 22nd, a couple days ago. Our view, according to the Baltimore Sun, proposal to triple fees may give Maryland voters sticker shock, but they'll be left in far worse shape if lawmakers do nothing at all. Now, this is according to the Baltimore Sun. One can hardly blame the voting public for feeling a bit of sticker shock at news that the Maryland Department of Natural Resources wants to triple the registration fees for most voters. The recession has hit the boating industry hard. Gas prices are up. The General Assembly is already considering a number of taxes and fees to balance the state's budget next year. How about cutting spending? Oh, my God, we can't do that. But there's only one thing the legislature could do to Maryland voters to make life on the water even worse, and that would be to do nothing at all. Now, I want you to listen to this next line, okay? And see if you are familiar with this reference. I'm sure most of our listeners are. Like Odysseus, the DNR is trapped between Scylla and Charybdis with no pain-free choices available. Brian, you know who those characters are, don't you? Odysseus and Scylla and Charybdis, or how you pronounce it? Why don't you open up your mic and explain that, Brian, who those references are in, who that is in reference to. Let me read that again. And see, this is why people read the Sun all the time. Like Odysseus, the DNR is trapped between Scylla, and forgive me with my pronunciation, and Charybdis, with no pain-free choices available. Let me explain. This is in Homer's Odyssey. This was Greek mythology, where our hero, Odysseus, had to sail between the coast of Italy and Sicily. And on one side, there was a great rock shoal, and on the other side, there was a whirlpool. And being between those two was a trouble spot, because if you sailed too close to the one to avoid the other, one would get you. And there was, in Greek mythology, these were two monsters that were at the mouth of this. Anyway, why didn't they just use, you know, common terminology, like being on the horns of a dilemma or being between a rock and a hard place? No, God, no, that's too simple. All you highly educated folks that read the Sun, you would get the reference to Homer, I'm sure. Realizing that Homer was a mariner and that he was in trouble when he was sailing through the strait there to avoid Scylla on the left and Odysseus or Charybdis on the right or whatever. I'm tired of this now. Anyway, basically what they're trying to say is if they don't raise the fees, if they raise the fees, that's bad. If they don't raise the fees, that's worse. This is according to the Baltimore Sun. Currently, boaters pay $24 every 2 years to register their vessels in the state. The fee hasn't been raised since 1983, and it's the same whether one owns a 20-foot Boston Whaler or a 70-foot yacht. Boat owners also pay a one-time 5% excise tax at the time of purchase or when a vessel is moved into the state as its principal home. Those fees are the primary source of revenue for the state's Waterway Improvement Fund, which pays to maintain, as I mentioned earlier, 265 public navigation channels, 400 public boating facilities, and thousands of navigation and regulatory buoys and markers. Unfortunately, that fund is exhausted. While it's expected to take in $15 million this year, the cost to maintain the existing boating infrastructure on an annual basis is estimated at $41 million. It's been like this since the recession hit and the boat sales plummeted. To avoid running a deficit, the DNR simply reduced the amount of dredging and related work it contracts out each year. The boating public can survive like that for a time. Navigational channels don't fill up with silt overnight, but the problem has recently taken a turn for the worse. Because of its own budget woes, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers will no longer be dredging the shallow channels it has been responsible for in the past. That means DNR, if it wants to keep important waterways like Tillman Island's Knapp Narrows open, it will have to take on another $6 million in maintenance dredging responsibility each year. So if a major fee increase is the whirlpool, then the loss of money to the waterways improvement funds is surely the six-headed hydra. See, that's the reference to the monsters in Homer's Odyssey. Either is capable of doing damage to Maryland's $2 billion boating industry and its estimated 35,000 jobs. Without dredging, boaters could be hit far worse than a $75 fee, what most would pay biannually, a $75 fee by 2015 under the DNR proposal. As the channels are lost, Maryland could become what's known as a high tide state, with large areas impossible to navigate except at high tide. And when they do go out on the water, the chances are that making contact with the bottom and doing serious damage to their boats would be that much greater. The best solution would be to require lawmakers to take a balanced approach. Raising the fee at least somewhat is a necessity. So is creating a more equitable fee structure. Under the DNR plan, a vessel that is between 45 and 65 feet long would pay as much as $500. Considering such boats cost as much as $3 million to purchase, that's hardly an undue burden, and larger boats are literally more costly to the state as they require greater underwater clearance. Think about those big skegs on sailboats. But the other aspects of, and the big keels on those giant boats, but other aspects of the plan could be deferred or scaled back if the state found other sources of revenue. The Waterway Improvement Fund could, for instance, be provided a small percentage of the state's gas tax proceeds, as was the case in years past, to compensate for marine fuel purchases or other general fund help, at least until the boating economy recovers. Even if the full DNR proposal was adopted, it would only result in about $10 million more annually. That's still far short of the fund needed. Ideally, the boaters ought to be able to foot their own bills, but not every boater owns a luxury yacht. The majority are valued at $12,000 or less, and many orders are more like Gilligan than Thurston Howell III. Now, see, that's a reference to Gilligan's Island. Did Gilligan own his own boat? Did Thurston Howell own his own boat? If they did, why the hell were they on the Minnow? Why was Thurston Howell on the Minnow and Lovey anyway? What's the deal with that? Inquiring minds want to know. Brian, come on. And the skipper. Good grief. They can choose, that'd be you folks. You can choose to leave your fishing boat in the garage, and that would spell bad news for those who make their living in marinas, restaurants, and tackle shops. Would be. Might be a tough act to sell. Might be a tough sell in Annapolis to spend money on boating at a time when Maryland is already facing tough budgetary choices in more vital areas of education and health care. But the state has spent far more tax dollars to encourage other industries, from farming to professional sports. True. Jobs on the waterfront are important, too, and Maryland stands to lose them if the boaters are left high and dry. That's from the editorial page this week of the Baltimore Sun. Despite the references to Gilligan and Thurston Howell III and also to Homer's Odyssey, they make a point. Pay me now or pay me later, you know? Pay me now and we'll dredge out the channel. Pay me later and you'll have to pay to get your boat hauled off a sandbar somewhere or get the bottom repainted or get that hole fixed or whatever it might be. What are your thoughts on that? By the way, you guys will pay like $25 right now. You'll pay $50 under this plan. And then up from there in the second tier. Anyway, Bob Gaudette will be along here at 6:30 to talk about the boating increase and explain even more. Now, the new hunting regulations have come out for the upcoming year, including the proposals, and I'd like to tell you that there are public meetings planned. The public meetings will discuss the seasons and bag limits, as always. Tuesday, March 6th at 7 p.m., that's at Annapolis Senior High School, and that's on Reva Road in Annapolis. And from Route 50, take exit 22, Reva Road, Route 665. Take Reva Road south about 0.8 miles, turn right at Arundel Olympic Swim Center, and the school is in the back on the left. I was just down that way yesterday. I know right where that is. Tuesday, March 13th at 7 p.m., South Hagerstown High School, and that's 1101 South Potomac Street in Hagerstown from I-70, merge onto Maryland 65 North. By exit 29B, 1.3 miles north towards Hagerstown. South Hagerstown High is on the left. Two public meetings to discuss the hunting seasons. A couple of the concepts were changed from the initial meeting of the stakeholders. They have eliminated the reduction in the bag limits on rabbits on public land, and they have also eliminated dropping the practice of filling out your harvest card that comes with your license at the scene in the woods before you move the carcass. You understand what I'm saying? Didn't even know you had to do that, did you? Well, you do. When you drop a deer, you put the field tag on. You're required by law to take out your license, take out your little harvest card, and fill out the harvest card at the same time. In other words, you got to do the paperwork before you can move the deer. The reason they wanted to drop that provision was because very few people were doing that anyway. Guilty. I'd put my tag on my deer, but I wouldn't fill out my harvest card till I called it in. And I would say a lot of people did the same thing. But there seemed to be a lot of pushback on dropping that provision that required you to do that from the stakeholders. So the department said, "All right, we'll leave it the way it is. You got to fill out the harvest card." So you still have to do that. They have also put another concept up, or two. One of them is to increase the days of the archery season and open it on September 5th rather than September 15th, adding 10 days to the front of the season. Now, if that 5th is a Sunday, then they would make it the 6th. So, unless, of course, we get Sunday hunting statewide, which doesn't appear to be the case. And the other proposal was to increase the fox season by 2 weeks for hunting only, not for trapping, but for hunting, which includes hunting at night. And that is to help those who are in pursuit of not only foxes, but coyotes, because that's a good time of year to hunt coyotes. So I'm not much of a predator hunter, so I'm, you know, a little ambivalent about that, but that's me. How do you feel about all this stuff? Oh, and the biggest concept, of course, is the reduction in the whitetail buck bag limit to one per season. One buck with a bow, one buck with a firearm, one buck with a muzzleloader. There won't be any second buck available, no second bonus buck tag. You don't have to kill two does to kill a second buck because there won't be a second buck. And one of the other proposals is to increase the antlerless doe harvest bag limit to unlimited with archery tackle in all of Region B. Taking your calls, 410-922-6680, 1-800-922-6680. We welcome your phone calls, 410-922-6680, 1-800-922-6680. If you'd like to comment on the increase in the boating licenses, or if you would like to talk about the hunting seasons. You're welcome to do that. All that's coming to us here. And then this week, a bill dropped to prohibit the use of gill nets in Maryland. The Maryland Saltwater Sport Fishermen's Association and Senator Klossmeyer join forces to protect our fisheries. At least that's the title of the posting on Tidal Fish. Chesapeake Bay is our state's greatest natural resource and our national treasure, a national treasure. This is, I wonder where this came from. It's on Tidal Fish, but I don't know if it was printed anywhere. All right. Because of its immense value to the citizens of our state and our economy, the region's largest recreational fishing advocacy group, the Maryland Saltwater Sport Fishermen's Association, and Senator Kathy Klausmeier have joined forces to protect this great asset through the introduction of Senate Bill 1032, prohibiting the use of gill nets for catching finfish within Maryland. This bill is targeted protecting jobs, except for the gill netters, our environment, and our citizens' ability to enjoy a healthy natural resource, stated Dave Smith, the MSSA's executive director. And then it goes on from there. You can read the bill for yourself if you'd like. It's Senate Bill 1032. Prohibiting the use of gill nets for catching finfish within Maryland. And the hearing's coming up. And that sport fishing group is urging everybody to call their General Assembly representative, whether that's your delegate or your senator, to act. Hey, Bay Linex at Glen Burnie now offers Linex protection that comes to you. The Bay Linex mobile unit can come to your home, your farm, your business, your job site, and apply the correct Linex coating, whether that's formulated for consumer use, for commercial use, or an industrial coating. They've got it. And they can apply that to your deck, your trailers, your tanks, your forklifts, your lift gates, or any equipment that needs protection against corrosion, chemicals, or the elements. Think about it. If you're burying a tank, why wouldn't you spray the outside of that to keep that tank from corroding? And anyway, the Linex materials are environmentally friendly as well. Protect your investment in your pickup truck like I did. Feel protected with a Linex spray-on bedliner for your truck, or you can prolong the life of your equipment, as I stated. You can even protect your garage, your shop, your basement floor with the new Aspartex floor coating. Bay Linex at Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Visit them online, baylinex.com. Baylinex.com. Bobby Hawkins is the man, 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199 for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Now more than just bedliners.
See the great selection of Ford trucks and SUVs, including the Super Duty and F-150 pickups, America's best-selling trucks for 34 years, at Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln on East Joppa Road in Parkville.
Bob Davidson, the ultimate Ford Lincoln store.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Don't miss the best of Rush Limbaugh on Rush's Weekend Review every Saturday afternoon from 12 to 3 on the most powerful names in talk, Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
But I'll take down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. We may not get a bite all day, but don't you rush away. What a great place to rest your bones, and mighty fine for skipping stones. You feel fresh as a lemonade for sitting in the shade. Whether it's hot, whether it's cool, oh, what a spot for whistling like a fool.
Bring it on. Dwayne in Dundalk, good morning. How are you, Dwayne?
Oh, good morning, Alan. How are you today?
I'm good. What's up?
That proposal on the $1 per season,
yeah,
I think it's a good thing, but at the same time, it does have its pros and cons, I think.
Okay.
My point on that would be is, hey, look, if you're going to go out there and you're going to kill a trophy buck, then you have to take these two does, and then you have to take another, you know, if you want to take another buck. Well, I think a lot of those guys was just calling in does just to get that second buck, because I had heard about that.
I understand that. And
you're thinning these does out.
Well, they're gonna increase the antlerless take. Here's the problem. Okay, and let me read this from the DNR website. Now, the public comment period opened up a couple of days ago.
Yeah. Right.
All right. Here's from somebody. I'm in favor of lowering the antler deer harvest and letting them mature. I try my best to only shoot mature animals and have let countless small bucks walk over the years. However, I strongly oppose the current proposal of $1 per season. I believe that a bonus tag system would really benefit avid bow hunters like myself. The chance at another mature buck with my bow keeps me in the stand day after day. I take doe when the situation is right and the shot is ethical. Under the proposed $1 per season system, if I were lucky enough to take a mature buck in September, I would hunt very little, if at all, until late October, November, when the gun muzzleloader season opens. This would greatly affect the number of doe I personally would take. This would also have me spending more time and money in Virginia, where I can take two antlered deer the entire season in the region I hunt, but I can use my two buck tags any of these seasons. Best regards.
Well, I see that as far as one person's opinion on that.
Well, that's what all these are. These are all opinions that are posted on the DNR website that people have, that's why they open this up to the public.
Right.
Yep.
But I think it's a good thing, though. It is giving these younger bucks a chance to grow up. If you're going to take that buck, then that's going to be your buck for the season, and I think that's a good thing.
Right.
And the rest of the season is all those. Like Pennsylvania has the 3-point on one side.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a great thing.
But they also opened up the doe season for 2 weeks. And now the issue is the hunters aren't seeing any deer, according to the hunting groups. And, they want an audience with the governor. And I think they're going to get it in opposition to the Pennsylvania's management program.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's a whole different deal up in Pennsylvania.
Right.
You know, the terrain is different. The public land is a lot different. The farmland is far more abundant, and the private land is not. I mean, you know, I think farmers up there understand that, you know, you want to welcome hunters in to take the deer off to save their crops. I think they understand that a little bit better than we do here in Maryland.
Well,
so
I also think that, you know, if they're taking the pressure off of these younger bucks,
yep,
it's also going to allow some of our youth hunters who may not get anything during opening youth day as far as a so-called trophy.
Right.
Give them a chance to kill a nice-looking 6-point or a nice-looking 8-point or even a 4-point for their first or second or third deer, whichever.
Yep.
That you've killed.
Yep.
Okay. And, hey, look, a 6-point buck is a trophy to a lot of hunters out there.
Let me tell you something, buddy.
Okay.
Let me tell you something. My season was made when my grandson killed his first buck. The opening day of firearm season was the only buck we took on the farm. It was a 6-point, but it was what you would call a management buck. It wasn't a tremendously wide trophy buck with anything, but it was certainly a mature deer. That's all it was going to get, and it was a great deer for a kid's first buck. You know, I'm agreeing with you. Yep, a great buck.
And with that pressure being taken off that buck, like that buck that we're talking about right now, your grandson's buck.
Yep.
Okay. Now, had he passed on that and said, "No, I'm not going to take that buck," who knows? It may be a bigger buck next year.
No.
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 It wouldn't have gotten any bigger.
Nope. No, the deer was already almost probably 4.5 years old.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, I'm telling you, it was a mature deer.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure it was.
Okay. You know, I mean, I know the difference. Trust me.
I know you do.
You know?
But even mature deer still grow. I mean, he's okay. Only 4.5 years old.
Okay, Dwayne. I appreciate that. Let me tell you something. I'm not going to deny my grandson his first deer, waiting for it to potentially grow another year and, you know, be in the same spot at the same place next year. Not going to happen.
I understand. I wouldn't do it either.
But you know what?
I'm not saying that was a bad thing in any way. That was a good thing.
You know what? 2 years before that, I sat and watched 5 bucks in early muzzleloader season, didn't take a shot, including a really, really nice 6-point that had a lot of potential. And then in buck season, in firearm season, I sat in the same stand and watched 5 more bucks come by. Some really scraggly looking things, and never even pulled the gun up. So as far as, you know, practicing QDM, it's all a matter of personal choice. And, you know, but I'll tell you what, I killed a nice big fat doe right there in the stand the first day after letting those 5 bucks walk away. I could have killed anything I wanted, and I didn't. So, you know.
And letting those other bucks walk, you know what you've done.
Well, I certainly know what I've done.
Well, what I'm saying to you is you're also going to have a much stronger rut next year.
Exactly. Sure.
Exactly.
Yep.
You're going to have a much more enjoyable hunt next year.
Sure. Thanks, Dwayne. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, Alan. You have a good day.
You too, buddy. Thank you. Got to go here. Let's talk to, who are we talking to? Ed in Sykesville. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
All right, man. Hey, listen, it is interesting to hear these other opinions of other hunters, and what that I think you read an email online or something about, you know, the guy said if he kills a buck, he's not probably going to be as likely to go out and just hunt does, you know.
Right.
And it makes perfect sense to me, and I never really thought about it that way. I'm a huge I'm for this. I think it's a great idea, but what I would like to see them do is, if they're going to allow us 3 bucks, one per season, then just allow us 3 bucks and let us take them when we want to take them with whatever weapon. In other words, I'm an avid bow hunter, so I would much rather go out, and I would like to shoot. I probably wouldn't. If they offered me 3 bucks, I probably would only take 2. But if I shot a buck in September, which sometimes I do, I would hate to just take the rest of the season and just sit there and wait for does, because I would much rather take a buck with a bow as opposed to a firearm.
Ed, here's the deal. You know, here's the deal. I'm thinking that bow hunters are the ones that want to hunt the trophy buck in the rut. Oh, we want to hunt the rut. We want to hunt the rut. We want to hunt the rut. Okay. And now all I hear is, well, we need to open the season earlier, so let's open it on September 5th, and that'll give the guys a chance to kill a buck in velvet. Or, if I kill a mature doe or a mature buck early, like in September, then I'll have to sit out the season, and I won't be able to hunt till gun season, and I won't be able to go out and shoot a doe. I mean, I won't be able to go out and shoot another buck. Well, make a choice. I mean, what do you want? Do you want to be able to hunt early and kill a buck in velvet, or do you want to be able to hunt the rut? Which is the most exciting time for you?
Definitely hunt the rut.
Okay. All right. Good. Isn't that the best chance to have it taken a mature buck?
Yes.
All right. I don't know. I can't tell you how many countless hunters I've heard over the years. Man, it's too hot to hunt. I ain't hunting till it gets cold. You know?
I can't. I got to get right out there.
Okay. But Ed, realize that everybody's an individual. You know, you may be out. You may be out there on September 5th in 90 degrees. God bless you. Go for it, man. I hope you do, and I hope you kill the biggest buck of your life. You know, but where does the department come down? We can't tailor the season to every individual's heart's desire. You have to be able to put a general regulation in effect and let it, you know, and let it eat and let people deal with it.
I just wish they would let us use what weapon we want when we want.
We've proposed that. We've talked about that numerous occasions in the stakeholders meeting.
I mean, it used to be that way, and then they switched it, right?
Don't think so. Nope.
Yeah, I believe it used to be that way. You could use a bow during gun season and check it in on your bow tag. Now, it's been I think, like 8 years ago, but it used to be that way.
Hey, Ed, you hear the music?
Yeah, one more thing real quick. I'm going to post. I don't like the 10 does is plenty to kill. I don't like the unlimited thing.
Ed, tell DNR. Appreciate you sharing. We got
everybody. I'm getting my opinion out there.
All right, well, put it online. Thanks. You too. Wow. Okay, everybody, get out, stay out, and stay safe if you got to leave us. Andy, you can hang on the line if you want, or call us back after the news. We appreciate your comments, and we want to talk to you. All right. See you soon.
Bob Davidson, the ultimate Ford Lincoln store.
As the proud owner of a Ford F-150 pickup, I'm pleased to recommend Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln. From the sales experience to the quick lane service department, Bob Davidson is Maryland's only Ford dealer that has earned the Ford President's Award.